Today we're going to be in the book of Jonah. There are four chapters, and when I've preached this before, I've taken 4 weeks. And so I'm just going to do it in 4 hours, so we'll get it all done at once. No, and what I've done first is Jonah flees in chapter 1. He runs away from God. Chapter 2 is the fish, okay? So he flees, then there's a fish. Then the next one, he preaches. The fish vomits him out. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches. Not very well, but it's very effective. And then the last thing, he pouts. And so as you look at the four chapters, kind of keep that in mind. But I don't want to approach it that way. I want to approach it from a different way. David and I have a neighbor that celebrated the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, and maybe even the 6th of July with fireworks going off all the way up till like 1 o'clock. And then at one time, they weren't even shooting fireworks, they were shooting guns. Now, apparently, they were shooting the guns down into the ground because that's safer, I guess. I don't know. How many of you have a neighbor like that? Anybody have like a neighbor that's just like gets on your nerves, maybe cuts their grass at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, starts blowing stuff off? How many of you have a spouse like that, you know, that has, you know what I'm talking about? There are people in our lives that we say, those people. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Jonah is going to be talking about those people, but I want us to look at the book of Jonah a little bit differently today. Look with me in chapter 1, the book of Jonah. It says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Joseph rose to flee to Tarshish, and in the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down to it to get in to with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Tarshish is a weird word for me. Anyway, basically, son of Amittai. Amittai means truth. That means Jonah is the son of truth. But the word Jonah means dove. So you would think, oh, a son of truth, a dove, he's a man of God, he's a prophet of God, he's going to be this godly man. However, he's going to be known as the reluctant prophet. We'll get to that in a little minute. Tarshish, there are different places where they think it is. Some people say it's on the far side of Spain. Some people say it's just like on the edge of the other side of one of the Italian islands over close to Sicily. Wherever Tarshish is or was, it's in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. So get this picture here. God says, "Get up, Jonah. I need you to go speak to these people. Their evil wickedness has come up before me. I want you to go take care of them." And Jonah says, "No." God says, "Go." Jonah says, "No." He's in the complete opposite direction. So we got that, right? So he says this, and what happens is he gets on the boat. As soon as he gets on the boat, they start sailing. The boat hits a storm. The sailors are freaking out. Jonah's down below sleeping, you know. He's down there. They finally wake him up and say, "Call out to your God. Do whatever you have to do, man. We're all calling out to our gods. We're trying to figure out what's going on, why this storm is going on. Call out that we may be saved." Jonah tells him, "Hey, it's probably my fault." Well, they roll the dice just to be sure. Sure enough, it's Jonah. They say, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the God that controls the ocean, that controls the wind, controls everything." And he's kind of angry at me and say, "Well, what do we do? What do we do?" So this is what they say in verse 12. He says, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Now the men are like, "Well, wait a minute, we throw this man of God into the water, the blood of him is going to be on us. That's not good." So they start rowing even harder, trying to get back to land. It doesn't work. So finally, they say, "Okay, we're going to throw Jonah over." You see what Jonah is saying? Jonah was saying, "I would rather be cast into the deep, I would rather die than have to do what you called me to do, God." And that's harsh. I would rather die than to do what you told me to do. And he's a man of God. So eventually they throw him in. They pick him up. They picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So Jonah thinks like, okay, boom, I'm in the water, I'm going to die. God has other plans. He's already designed another route to get him there. A fish comes and swallows him and takes him down. And in the middle, in the belly of this fish, he prays. And I want you to hear what he prays. We're in chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to this. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. A couple things about that. The word distress there is the word sara. And it is this great distress. It is this anguish, this great sorrow. It's I called to you out of this, and I was in the belly of Sheol. And the word Sheol has a couple different meanings. It means the grave. It means the lowest place. It means hell. So he's saying, and look at his prayer there. God, he says, in my need, Jonah prayed from the belly of the fish. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. How many of us are like Jonah in that the only time we call out to God is when we need him to answer something? God, we need you to do something in my life. God, I need a new job. I need a new house. I need new children. I certainly need a new spouse. I need all of these new things. I'm just miserable, God, so why don't you answer and help me out? And we only call out to God when we need a magic genie, when we need an answer, when we need something to help us out there. He says this in verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. Oh, when I finally realized I was really going to die, at first I was like, yeah, I want to die, but now that I'm really going to die, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple, and I remembered salvation belongs to the Lord. Again, when my life was fainting away, when I really hit rock bottom, oh yeah, I remembered you now. The God over everything, the God that created me, the God that has given me breath, the God is giving me life. Oh yeah, but now that I need you, I remembered you. So God is a lifeline for Jonah here. Instead of humbling himself and doing what God told him to do, he said, I'd rather die. So he throws him in the belly of a fish. And now he's experiencing like maybe what it's like to be dead. And he says, oh, now I remember God. So let's go to chapter 3 and see what happens. Chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out. This is his sermon. Five words in Hebrew, but he says this, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his whole sermon. I know some of you are saying, Paul, I wish your sermons were that short. Then we could go, right? That's all he says. It's almost like he's trying to sabotage his own sermon. He goes to the middle of the city. They talk about the city being so great that it would take 3 days for you to walk across a city. You know? And he says he walks in, he gets to the middle of the city, and he goes, 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The problem is, for Jonah, the word overthrown has two different meanings. It means, it could be that it's going to be destroyed, overthrown, or it could be it's just going to be turned over. It's going to be changed. What Jonah didn't realize, God had given him the message, Nineveh, you're going to be overthrown in 40 days. He didn't realize that God had other plans for the people in Nineveh. It says for this in verses, where am I at now? 40 days, they call for a fast, put on the sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then, verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So you would think Jonah would say, like, okay, God, I did what you told me to do. They repented. Thank you. No. Chapter 4. See how quickly we're getting through this? Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to fly to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. God, I knew this was going to happen. I knew you were going to save these people. These people are the most brutal. These people are the most wicked. These people are the enemies of everybody in the world at this time. And I knew you were going to be faithful to your word, that they were going to repent, and you were not going to destroy them. Those people. See what I'm saying? Those people, Jonah's looking at them saying, those people, they need to be destroyed. That's why I went to Tarshish. That's why I didn't want to come and do this, because I knew that if somehow they got you into their hearts, then you were going to relent and you were going to forgive them. Because, like what you said about yourself in Exodus, that you are slow to become angry. You are quick to forgive. You're a gracious God. You are abounding in steadfast love. And you relent from disaster. All of the minor prophets have talked about this is the judgment of God. This is what's going to happen. But there's always that turn that God is saying, look, I'm a God of judgment, yes, but I'm also a God of reconciliation. I want you to turn back to me. And that's what God is saying through Jonah here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. How many of us get angry when maybe someone else gets picked over us at work? Those people. I sit here and do all this, and those people end up getting it. You know? There's a lot of us that go through these things, and it just happens, and it happens, and it happens, and we just say, those people. But God created those people in his image, just like he created us in his image. That's the second time Jonah wants to die. Look at verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Are you kidding? This whole town, from the king all the way down to the cows, had to put sackcloth on the cows, okay? Everybody repented. Everybody turned to God and started worshiping God. And he is so angry about it, he says, look, just kill me. Just take my life away. I would rather die than to see these people be reconciled, to these people to be saved. Then, verses 8 and 9, God, this is God's sense of humor, I think. When the sun rose, God appointed us, he goes and sits on the edge and he pouts. Jonah's pouting. And it's hot. He's sitting on top of the mountain where the sun is coming and the east wind's blowing. And so God makes this plant to grow. It's like a broom plant, and it just covers them with shade. And he's happy. And then the next morning, he sends a worm, and it destroys the broom plant. And all of a sudden, it says, as you read it, it's scorching his head. It's just making him miserable. And it says this, when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die. Again, third time, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you well to be angry for this plant? And he goes, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. In other words, God, throw me in the water. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. God, kill me. I'd rather you kill me than for me to see my enemies come to you. And then the third time, now my head's on fire and this wind is blowing and it's hot out here. Just kill me now. I'm done. And again, Jonah would rather die than to see the Ninevites saved from their destruction. And so in those four chapters, that's the message. But what do we see in this message? How does this apply to us today? Well, a couple things. Number one, what about those people? Let's look at the characters in this book. There were some pagan sailors that worshipped all kinds of different gods. They weren't Hebrew. They worshipped all kinds of different gods. They were doing their thing. And yet when the storm came up and they cast Jonah into the water, the man of God was not following what God told him to do. It says this. It says, the men feared the Lord exceedingly, in verse 16, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. The very people that didn't worship God, that didn't know God, all of a sudden saw the power of God just stop, and they began to worship God. You had Jonah, who was a man of God, nowhere near doing what he was doing or supposed to do or what he was called to do. He was doing what Jonah wanted to do. And those people turned around and gave their lives to God and began to worship him and made vows to him. Another thing, the most ruthless nation, from the king on down to the cattle, responded by repenting and earnestly praying to God. Look at chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. In other words, we're going to fast. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. cloth, and let them call out mightily to God. In other words, don't just go through the motions. I want you to earnestly, mightily call out to this God. I want you to do everything that's in your power to call out to this God. He says, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Again, this is the most ruthless nation in the world at the time. And then the king says, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we would not perish. Again, those people are enemies, the people that get on our nerves, you know, that we want to see bad things happen to, you know? And yet, here they are turning to God, every single one of them. And not just turning to God, they are earnestly and mightily crying out to him. And here is the man of God who just says, yeah, I'm angry at you because I knew you were going to do this. This is why I didn't want to do it in the first place. First off, I got some advice for you, Jonah. Don't argue with God. He holds all the cards, you know? The man of God's trying to avoid doing the will of God. And I think for all of us, we can relate to that feeling that sometimes God begins to stir something in us. God begins to reveal some sin or some desire or some kind of practice in our life that we're doing. What do we do with that feeling? Oftentimes we say, okay, God, I'm going to give you this much of my life, but this, you know, I'm just going to hang on to this for a while. Or, God, I know you want me to change, but I'm going to change, but I'm going to do it in my own time and in my own strength and in my own power. And God is saying, no, no, no. I need you to go now. I need you to do this now. So the first thing is, what about those people? I think the second thing that we can get from this, Jonah shows us in his story, there's nowhere we can run from God. There's nowhere you can run from God. Psalm 139, David says this, where shall I flee from your presence? Where can I go? Can I climb the highest mountain and you're not there? No. Can I go down to the deepest depth of the oceans and get away from you? No. Jonah tried to go as far as he could from Nineveh. He went complete different opposite direction. God says, I got some news. And then he says, I'd rather die than to go. So throw me in the water. Throws him in the water. God goes, I got a plan for you, Jonah. And so a fish comes and takes him. Not the probably best accommodation. But you can't avoid God. God has other plans. He cast Jonah into the very depths of Sheol, and Jonah realizes even there that God is sovereign and there with him. I think of the story after Jesus does the Sermon on the Mount and the disciples all go down and get in the water and they start going across the water and there's a storm coming up. It says that he is up in the mountain praying. And he's looking down at them, and he has his eye on them the whole time. God is watching. God knows. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere that you've been that God hasn't been there with you, watching over you. And I think if you look back on your life, you're going to see that God has intervened many times in your life to bring you through certain times. And when you're in the valley, you don't see it. All you see is that mountain in front of you. But God is there, even in the valley. What is the song we sang today? The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. It's the same God. So Jonah shows us there's nowhere we can run from God. Jonah shows us there's no such thing as those people. But Jonah also shows us that the heart of God is for all people, even those that we despise. This short book reveals just about as much about God's heart as it does God's will. God's heart is for his people to turn back to him. His will is for us to do what he's called us to do, to live a life that's more godly, more righteous. We are to be points of light. That's what he says once we give our lives to Christ. However, God's heart is always to save sinners. His word and his judgment is always going to hold us accountable. We will face a day where we stand before an almighty God and we are going to be judged for things that we've said, thought, done. And yet, that same God is giving us an opportunity through his son, Jesus Christ, to be saved, to be different, to be new, to be righteous, to be holy in front of him. God sends his prophet And those that seem farthest from God, they repent. He preaches, they repent. God relents. Jonah's depressed. Jonah's angry. Jonah didn't run due to his fear of Nineveh. You know, they were brutal. They could have killed him and things like that. He didn't run because of that. He ran because of his hatred for the Ninevites. They were cruel. They were wicked. Jonah saw them as less than human. And how many of us sometimes today, we look at other people and we see them just less than us? Those people. I think he's the complete opposite of Isaiah, where Isaiah looks and says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And God says, "You go, but no one is going to respond to you." And here's Jonah saying, "I don't want to go. I don't want to go." And yet everyone responds. For us today, where are we running from God? Where in your life are maybe you, God is saying something to you and you are saying, "No, God, I don't want to do that. I would rather die, not just metaphorically, but physically and spiritually. I would rather die than to give this part of my life back to you." Do we really want to see our enemies saved by the love of God? Are we, as a church, are we guilty of being more like Jonah than we care to admit? That we look at Jonah and we say, "Well, here's a man of God. Yeah, I'm in church. I do all these things. God, thank you, thank you. Look at all these things I'm doing for you." And yet God is saying, "No, no, no, you're like Jonah. I need you to go and serve. I need you to go willingly. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to say this. I need you to live like that." And yet we go our own way and do our own thing. So today, I just want us to just spend a few moments and say, "You know what, God, where are you speaking to me?" I want to invite you to come to the altar and spend some time with God. If you need to just say, "You know, God, I've been running right here. This area of my life, I've been running from you." Then I want you to invite you to just come up here and get it right. And if you don't want to come up here, then do it there in your seat. But let's give God what God desires from us. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Father, I thank you for the calling that you've placed on our lives, not just individually, but as a church. Father, I pray that we don't look at others and say, "Those people." Father, many, many times we are those people. And so, Father, as we hold up this mirror today, Father, help us to see the Jonah in our life. And we want to lay that on the altar now. Father, I just pray this morning as we search our hearts, Father, that you would reveal to us areas in our life where we are running from you. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear. Father, that you would give us wisdom to be the people that you've called us to be, that you would give us the courage to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, that we would live in the power of the Spirit and not in our flesh. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.